can't. I know what it's not. I mean, some things God will tell me right away, but some things like, you'll see. Who has had God deal with them like that? You'll see. Well, tell me what to do. Just keep going. You'll see. You'll see. You don't need to figure it all out. Just walk with me. Here's what you need to know. You trust him.
Amen.
That's all you need to know.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
Let's get going. Back in Matthew 25, I told you there's three parts to this revelation. Three parts to this truth that God exposed about be ready. So we'll be ready part two. What I just had you confess is very, very strong part of being ready. Even if I don't know exactly what it is, God grant me the anointing to know what it's not. Process of elimination. If you know what it's not, you eventually going to walk right into what it is. You don't have to walk all around and stuff and stumble in it and get hurt and bruised and scabbed up to come out to eventually, well, I guess I had to go through that. No, if you walk in and your spirit bears witness that it's not, he said, if you come to a house and you speak peace and your peace returns to you, he said, he didn't say go in there anyway and see what happens. He said, turn around, shake the dust of your feet and get up out of there. See, God has a fail safe. You don't have to beat yourself up to figure it out. You have to go through 50 no's to find your yes. You can believe, God, that when I walk up to it or come to it, I'll know your spirit ain't here. And because your spirit's not here, I'm not going in. But everybody's going in. God bless them. I'm not going in. I'm not going in. Preparation isn't always grueling. It isn't. Successful people who write books have a tendency to write the same book over and over again. I started out very poor. My mom and daddy didn't have nothing. Even if they did, they still want to make it look like they started from the bottom, right? I had to go through things. It was hard. I didn't sleep. I slept 1-2 hours a night and ate coffee beans to stay awake, and here I am today. No, if you read everybody's book, there's always the beginning of the journey. And then they went after their dream, and 1,000 people said no, and they got kicked to the side. But what's the key? Never give up. It's the same. It's the same. Hold tight to your dreams. You know, no specific instruction, just these little feel good, you know, you're just rehashing the movie and giving it a different name. But then they always tell you this is hard times. Oh, the hard times. And if you just push through the hard times, you never give up. I got so tired of reading those books because you ain't giving me any details. You're just giving me the general story. And God showed me something that I've shared before, but where I am right now in my life, I can share it again from a different place. You listening to me? It's not the hardships. It's not the rough moments. It's not all of that. It's when the opportunity presents itself. Are you ready? That's it. It's when the opportunity presents itself, are you ready? Meaning you can go to a lot of hell and stuff or not. They would tease Eddie Murphy, and Eddie Murphy makes this joke all the time. All the time. People in Hollywood got irritated with him. He said, I never auditioned for a part. They called me and said, we got this part for you, and I went and took it. He said, I'm sorry, I can't tell you the hard stories. I just can't. They called me and said, we got this thing here, and we want you to do it. Do you want it? Don't you want it? I'll take it. Hundreds and hundreds of millions later, that's still his story. I don't know the hard story. I was ready. I was ready. And when they called me, I was ready. And I had the opportunity to say yes or no to what was put in front of me because I was ready. It all comes down to opportunity. All the years of pain and suffering means nothing when the opportunity comes to you if you're not ready to take it. If you can't perform the task that's set in front of you, it don't make a difference how many times you got thrown down a flight of stairs. It won't mean a bit of nothing to nobody if you didn't learn from all of them throw down the stairs how to be a good stuntman. So, no, it's the preparation. I've watched my life and the things I've struggled for, and I watch my life and the things that God granted me with opportunity and I was ready for. So a little over a year and a half, almost not even 2 years ago, time is flying. About 2 years ago, God said, save your money. Stop spending. That's my allowance. I can do what I want. You can, but I'm telling you to save it. And so many things, from Namus music video to all these things happening to the place that I'm getting and all, I wouldn't have been ready for any of this. I would have missed this opportunity. Well, maybe Lord have another plan. I told you to save. And now these moments have come, even some rough, bad moments that I was ready for. Money moments that I was able to go, get up out of here with that bull crap. Because I allow God to prepare me. So when we talk about the story with the virgins, as I said last week, we talk about them not having oil. It was a spiritual unreadiness. They weren't prayed up. They didn't have the anointing. The oil, that's what the oil is, isn't it? They didn't have the anointing. That's the oil. They didn't have their prayer lamps full. They didn't have extra oil because the master delayed in coming. And we talked about last week how the Lord has this thing of delaying because something's being developed in the delay. What's being developed in the master delaying his return? Mix with your faith. See if you know the scripture. Mix with your faith. Pace, thank you. It's patience. Patience develops trust. Trust is the key to patience. If I say I'm going to do it, you decide if it's too long or not. Not me. You decide if I didn't move fast enough. You decide if God didn't move fast enough so that you can decide to give up and go on to the next thing or move on. You're not listening to me. So patience is developed. So he delayed his return. Came back. They didn't have oil. They had to run and try to get oil at the last minute. The banquet was closed. They were left out. Then right after that, he goes on and says, it's also like, which lets us know that the wise and foolish virgins wasn't just one statement he made, but he's telling a full, incomplete story, which is what I covered last week. And he comes back and he says, the kingdom is also like, and what's his next story? The talents. This wealthy man decides to give bags of gold to each people according to their ability, and he gives them this wealth according to their ability, and then he leaves. And again, he was a long time returning. Giving them the opportunity to show up or shut down. Because the thing with God not returning right away or answering when you think he should is because God is never going to be on your timetable. And there's, you know, people who say he may not be there when you want him, but he's right on time. He's there all the time. But his response to you is based on the ability he gave you and then his desire to increase and better your ability. Let me say that again. Let me say that in children's terms. Every time God calls you to a level of greatness, he doesn't want to just promote you earthly. Are you hearing me? God is not interested or cares less about whether you get a raise on your job or a new car. No, I don't know if you heard me. Yeah. Say, God doesn't care,
God doesn't care
about my earthly benefits. Say, he'll give it to me, but that's not his concern. You get that? He's trying to develop you spiritually, eternal life. Your car, your house, your whatever is not going with you into eternity. It doesn't matter in the grand scheme of things. What these things are used for is to develop you with patience and diligence and long-suffering and determination. It's for your spiritual growth. Every blessing you got, if you stop and think about it, God either did it to encourage you, or he said no to make you still stand. It's always designed to make you become stronger spiritually. And after having stand therefore. Persistence. What is persistence? It's character development. God wants to develop our character spiritually. Amen. So when I heard, I think it was Rick Renner who said, when we get hurt, we have a tendency to harden our heart, but our skin is still thin and everything still hurts. He said, why don't you instead develop tougher skin but let your heart stay soft? And that spoke to me years ago when I heard that. I was like, yeah, I was perfect at trying to have a hard heart. And it never works. It's like trying to hold your stomach in. You can only do it so long before, somebody pierces you again. So keep your heart tender. Don't let your heart become hard. But let your skin be thicker. I heard it. Did that hurt? Yeah, it could have if that kind of stuff still bothered me. You didn't hear what I just said. Yeah, that could have really hurt if that kind of stuff still bothered me. But yeah, I've heard that. I've heard that insult enough to know that I'm not going to allow the enemy to keep poking me with that and taking me out of my stand with that one sentence and that one line. Do you notice that no matter where you go, somebody finds a way to get that line that hurts you to you? So it's not them. It's not them. Can't be, unless everybody's a prophet. the enemy knows what hurts you and pricks you, and he'll keep finding somebody to repeat it no matter where you go. That thing your mama used to say all your life, or your dad, or whoever, your cousin that got on your nerve, no matter where you go in life, somebody will pop up out of nowhere and just drop it. So you come to the reality someday, you go, yeah, I've heard that before. You're so difficult. It's just the way you say things. You can be intimidating. Oh, gosh, so how could I be less intimidating? God said, you don't. If they can't flow with the way you flow, then they don't need to flow with you. You can't keep changing for everybody else. You can't keep losing the God who God called you to be. Let me just say this to you. How many of you have in your life for your tone consistently heard, it ain't what you say, it's the way you say it? How many times you prayed about it? Has God taken it yet? Maybe he wants you to say it like that. Maybe he just wants you to say it like that. Because somebody has to. In a world of cancel culture and everybody trying to be politically correct and kiss everybody's hiney and say nobody wants to say anything that bothers anybody in any way, somebody, congratulations, you've been nominated. So what I've said is, God, you said to become all things to all men. If there's a different way I can say it, tell me how I can say it that it comes across better. And you know what I found? No matter how nice you say it, they'll still say it's the way you said it. It's because they don't want to hear what you're saying. It's not the way you said it. It has nothing to do. If they don't want the correction that you're giving them that nobody else will.
Come on.
Amen. Have a blessed day. So, in this preparation, part two, he now goes from the oil to his wealth. And he gives these people opportunity to go out and take his wealth and do something with it, or the gift, or the gold, or the talents. People think it's talents like dancing and singing. No, it was gold. It was bags of gold. It was money. The word for talent, the word talent back then translates to the word money. You can use it to say dancing and singing and flips and turns, but no, he's talking about money. And he gave them money now. First part, he was looking for them to have spiritual fortitude. This time, he's looking for them to have financial wisdom and prowess. You caught that? I improved you spiritually. Come on, saints, stay with me. First part, he proved them spiritually. Second part, he's proving them financially. You may have passed the spiritual test, but how'd you do on the financial? Because he's using that to determine if he can trust you with more. And so he gave them according 1-5, 1-2, 1-1. The one with five came back, said, here's five more. The one with two came back, said, here's two more. The one who came with one, you know, he hid his. He said, you're mean and harsh taskmaster, taking where you didn't sow, putting me through things so I can learn something and not blessing me. You know, I heard a lot of church people talk like this. But the point I made last week, listen real close. You listening? That the one with five and the one with two, the response or the result of, or his answer to them was exactly the same. You are well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with few. I will bless you with much. Come and enjoy my happiness. So it didn't make a difference whether, listen to me, doesn't make a difference if God gave you a bunch of talents or half the talent. If you as anointed as me or you half as anointed as me, it's what you're going to do with when he comes back. Did you do something with your, I may have flowing five gifts, you may flow in one. But what did you do with it that when the Lord comes back and asks for an account that he can look and see you did something with the gift I gave you? Right. You might not be the prophetic I am, but can you just encourage somebody on a bad day? See, just what did you do with that? And for that, regardless of the gift, he gave them both the keys to enter into his happiness. Means everything I have. No, you're not listening. And the works that I do, you should do also in greater things. And ask anything in my name, and it shall be done unto you. He's saying, I'm trying to get you to the place that I can trust you with everything I have. How many of you like that? So the man who said, well, you're a hard master, obviously didn't know him, because if you saw what he did for the first two, you knew that that man was a liar or misinformed. So now we go to the third part and the final part of his explanation here. Again, he's still talking about this is the kingdom, how it works. He's talking about preparation. He's talking about be ready. So I'm going to go back to, I'm going to go back just so you can see how it flows together. That's verse 28 of chapter 25. This is his response to the person who didn't have a return on his giving. Matthew 25 didn't have a return on what he gave him. He says, so take the bag of gold from him and give it to the one who has 10 bags. For whoever has will be given more. And they will have what? What? So what's the plan of the master? What's the plan of the master? What's the plan of the master? I just want to make sure we see that. He's talking about the bags now. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. And throw this worthless servant outside into darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. I just want to reiterate this because I said it last week and I want to bring it back again. Listen to me real close. Say, whoever has will get more. Whoever doesn't have, even what he has, will be taken from him. I want to make this point clear Because I've heard songs, like I said last week, I'm not going to go through all that again, but it was this, that, well, you know, those who have will get, those who have not shall lose. Okay, but he's talking about lose what I gave you, not you came and you didn't have nothing, so therefore you're going to lose what you, well, if you came with nothing, there's nothing for you to lose. God said, I've given to all of you gifts, skills, talents, and abilities, all of you have it. Now, when I come back and find you without improvement or growth or maturity, then even what you have will be taken from you. This is New Testament. This is Jesus talking. You know why some of your gifts are not working right now? Because you ain't do with it what you're supposed to. You know why your attitude ain't gotten better? Because you ain't take that attitude you haven't submitted to him. Yeah, I know I said to you, well, God made you like that, but he didn't make you to stay that way and be an a-hole. You're supposed to give it back to him so he can turn it to his use. Right up to now, you've been using it for your use to insult and offend and hurt people and protect yourself. But he said, but now if you bring that ability to me to come out your mouth and say whatever you want to say or what you need to say without being afraid of people, and you give that to me, I will teach you how to use that to my glory. It's very important.
Amen.
It's not for you. I said it last week. Your gifts and your talents are not yours. He said he entrusted it to them. They have been entrusted to you. He's coming back to take inventory. So when I realized I had an attitude where I could say stuff out of my mouth that I shouldn't be saying, I had to finally say, okay, God, teach me how to use that and say what you want me to say without caring what people think, instead of saying what I want to say without caring what people think. It's a difference. It's a difference. Because I would shoot off what I wanted to say, but then felt like I had to apologize for everything God told me to say. Oh, you don't have that. You got to coat everything in sugar before you say God stuff, but then when we get upset, we say whatever we want to say for our own selfish gains and our own selfish purposes. God said, well, why can't you be that bold when I give you something to say? So, take it from him and give it to the one who has that. And whoever does not have, what they have will be taken from them. And who has, he, throw him out, weeping and gnashing teeth. We got that. Moving on. He's still talking, same conversation. When the Son of Man comes in his glory with all the angels with him, he will sit on his glorious throne. All the nation will be gathered before him. And he will separate people from one another as shepherds separate sheep from goats. And he will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Listen to me. Again, same story. Here's the master coming back. Same story. Here comes the master asking for an account, looking for who's who and where he could put where. All of this is about preparation. All of this. Then the king will say to those on his right, come up, you who are blessed by the Father, and take your inheritance. All this wealth and inheritance. The kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. And I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. And I was a stranger, and you invited me in. And I needed clothes, and you clothed me. And I was sick, and you looked after me. And I was in prison, and you came to visit me. Then the righteous will answer. Notice. The righteous, those in right standing with him. Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? Or when did you see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? He said, when did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you? The king replied, I tell you truly, whoever did this for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did it for me. Stop. That's always been a cute story, and I've always read it and said, aw. But now it's time to pick it apart. Here we go. Ready? He tells these first two stories, which is what he wants in us as a kingdom attitude. from the oil to the wealth. Well, if you broke and poor don't have nothing, you can't feed him if he's hungry. You can't take him in if you ain't got no home. You understand what I'm saying? It's following a pattern here, isn't it? It's all preparation. Get you past the spiritual part. Have plenty of oil. Now I got you past the wealth part. I can trust you with my wealth. Now I want to trust you with my personality and my spirit as a minister. Now that I've blessed you, can you be a blessing to others? Do you use yours to keep yours, or do you look for the opportunities to bless me? He said, who? When have we done this for you, Lord? He said, when you did it for mine. So he's not talking about for the world. Listen to me close. He's talking about, I have people I've put out here that are mine, that have walked through some of these tests too, and they're going to need you. And I need you to be ready to help them. I don't want you to get so comfortable with your life and your lifestyle and your home and your whatever and your car and your whatever that you've lost the ability to help others when I need you to, when I want you to. The process of being ready, I love talking about being prayed up. I love talking about the wealth of the Lord. But now he's breaking down why I want you wealthy. Because when I send mine to you in need, I need you to be available for them, to help them so they can get through the phases that you had to go through. So now they can be strong soldiers to turn around and help somebody and see somebody poor and see somebody sick and see somebody in prison, and they have the ability to help them. That don't mean you need to go to prison and have a prison ministry if you're not called to. He's not saying you need to do all of this stuff. He's saying, I need you to be ready and prepared and trustworthy, so when I come back to you and say, I now need you to take what I've trained you in to go help somebody else, you're ready. You have the oil. You have the resource. Say, God wants me to be full. Oil and resource.
Amen.
You catching this? I'm watching what God's doing with my life right now. And every door that he just keeps opening back to back to back to back for the past year has opened the door for resource and relationships in my life. And in each situation, I've had the opportunity to take somebody in. I'm not talking about with money and stuff, just to be able to minister to them the counsel and the wisdom and the personality that God gave me without limit and share it with them. And be an example in front of people who are, some of them, way wealthier than me financially, but hunger for what I have spiritually. And they're looking at me like, wow, you have everything. You have everything. How did you do that? Sit down a minute. We can talk about it. Because this is the gift that God has developed in me that I can now share with you. I can take you in. I can feed you. You're hungry. They may not be financially hungry, but they're spiritually hungry. They're orphans. They don't have a God. They don't have a father. They don't have an eternal father. They're in prison. I can come in and let them out and pay the bail. This is why we're here. Not to pat our nest and to keep bugging God for what we want, but get to the place that we don't even have to care about what we want anymore, because he so provides for it that all we have to do is be obedient and walk in his path.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
He spoke to me months ago. I said, Father, I'm tired of sleeping on the couch. He said, I'm going to give you an apartment. And he showed me it in a glimpse. That's why I knew when I saw it. And I tried to figure where it was, because I had no idea where it was. I didn't know if it was Pennsylvania. I didn't know where it was. Could have been Manhattan. I don't know. I just saw a glimpse of it. But when I walked in it, I didn't have any plans to go. You need those you don't know. That going to Florida wasn't a planned out thing for the past few months. I woke up on a Tuesday and I heard God say, call your brother, you're going to Florida. Booked the flight and went. It was no plan. So it definitely was no plan to find where he wanted me to live right now. But I'm looking for the opportunities now, and I'm already seeing it, to minister. I've already begun to gather a crew of people that are already looking to me as counselor. Just that quick. God has already shown me he's setting me up a new foundation. Because if it's your gift, it works everywhere you go. If you're a painter, just put you anywhere, give you a paintbrush and some paint, and you're going to paint. Oh, no, but this is China. Is it a wall? Yeah. You got paint? Yeah, paint it. This is the season and time. A lot of you have let God develop gifts that you don't even appreciate or know that they're gifts. A lot of you have skill sets that you've developed right here in this house, that God has developed it for a worldwide application, and you're not seeing it pass. Oh, and that's what I do on Sunday. You don't even have to travel now to do business deals. Just Zoom. And this is the opportunity of opportunities. And I spoke to you guys when this first happened. I said, those who are attentive to this word, you will prosper more during this pandemic than you did before. And I know a few of you who have. I know I doggone sure have. So, what say ye? He's saying, listen, I can go ahead and read the other thing. But it goes the same thing. He says, they also will answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty, or strangers and needing clothes, or sick and in prison, and did not help you? This is the other side of it. I don't know you. He said, I replied, truly, I will tell you, when you did not do it for one of the least of these, you did not do it for me. Then they will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. So now he's saying, again, the unready, I didn't take to, but you know, the other people came and said, well, when did we not see you? When did we see you and not help you? And he said, because you didn't help me. And these are the ones who didn't, but the ones who were ready did. And the point of the message is the ones who were prepared did help. They were able to help. They, listen to me, they were able to see a need and fill it. That's discernment. Because everybody won't walk up to you and say, I'm in prison. Everybody won't walk up to you and say they're hungry because they don't know they're hungry. They're used to eating garbage. Everybody won't walk up to you and say, I'm an orphan. I'm fatherless. I have no eternal lineage. But the trained disciple knows. And God can use you. So when I sit with some of these wealthy people that we come to know, especially out here in Lehigh Valley, like, I sit with them and I'm thinking, wow, they're in a place that I'm not in financially or whatever or title-wise, and they're looking at me and you have the same experience, and all of a sudden they're just adopting us as counselors. Wow, you have everything. Didn't you just pull up in a Rolls? But you got to understand, people on that level know that that stuff don't mean much. They want what you have. Are you listening to me?
Yes.
Are you listening to me?
Yes.
I want to wrap this up, but I want to bring this home. Stop treating what you have as invaluable. You in school, you've been in school. All of us have. There's the cool kids. I might not be the cool kid, and I'm upset because I want to be the cool kid, but the cool kid is broken. And he's being the cool kid to hide from the fact that he wishes he was dead. And we have the understanding of eternal life that they need. You don't mean you have to go, you know, you need Jesus. No, but just they could see that glow on you, that joy on you, that hope in you. You're not supposed to be walking around looking like them. Well, I got to look sad too because everybody looks beat down and sad. So I got to be sad too because I got to fit in. I got to join the emo group. No, you're supposed to be the candlelight. They can look at you and say something about you. You know, even in the roughest times, you always got a smile on your face. If not a smile, you just, there's something about your presence that when I'm around you, I just like being in your presence. And I had an executive say that to me, a CEO. He said, I'm sitting across the table from him, talking to him, and I want to talk business, but he keeps telling me about his personal life. So I'm like, okay, well, I'll tell you about mine. We'll just have a personal life story. And I found out that this man had gone through things almost exactly like what I had been through. White man raised in a whole different world, but still. And we talked, and he looked at me, and he said, I don't mean this in no wrong way, but the women must give you fits. You're very handsome. Like, you look very... I can't believe you're, like, older than me. And I was like, it's my source, man. It's my faith. He said, you know, I know about that faith. Now, he said that. He really did. I was like, okay, where's that going? But no. But he wasn't talking about that. He was talking about there's a glow about you. There's something about you that's so solid. What is that? And I told him. He said, yeah, you know, I went to a church. I used to go to a Catholic church, and, you know, I heard all that. He said, recently somebody invited me to one of those, what do they call them, Pentecostals or whatever, he said. And it was different, but I kind of liked it. I didn't like the little religious things, but I kind of liked it. You know, it was something about it. Is that what you do? I said, no, I'm non-denominational, but the true Christ. And I got a chance to sit there and share with him my relationship with my God. Amen. Me and him are friends now. We're getting ready to do business together. And we're going to do very, very well. And I said, this is why I'm here. Not to close all the deals and rack up. That's going to happen. And it's already happening. But here, why I'm here. Because there's something in me that needs to come out. And it's coming out. You know, Angela, I've heard you say more lately than ever in all the 40 plus years I've known you. I need to know what my purpose is before God. And I want to know why God has me here, what I'm supposed to do. That's the you that gets awakened. That's the you that needs to be alive all the time. That's the you, like, what am I here for? What did you put me here for? What is my role here on this earth? I done made comfort with everything else I want to make comfort with, but still don't know who I am. And if you can let the devil keep lying to you, telling you once you get rich, all your problems will be solved, I'm telling you right now, that's the biggest lie from the pit of hell, because I meet a lot of wealthy people, and I'm telling you right now, there are more lost than you think they are, and most of them wish they had the position that you neglect. Don't throw your gifts off. He showed you right here. Be prepared. Amen. Be ready. Ready for what? Yes, opportunities. Yes, business. But more important, to be the light of Christ in this earth. To be a help to somebody who needs help. You see them hungry, you can feed them with the word. And financially if necessary. But where does God want you? Does he want you in the street? Because God hasn't told me I want you on the street feeding people. We have the pantry for that. He told me, no, I want you in the boardrooms feeding the executives. Amen. I want you on these panels feeding these people of influence. I want you talking to these people that don't have a bunch of people of your color even around them. Don't sleep on your gift. Stop trying to conform. Stop trying to be what everybody wants you to be. Find out who you're supposed to be and let God develop it. And for God's sake, please pick your chest up and lift your head up and stop walking around acting like you're beneath people when you got the Spirit of God in you. Please. It's embarrassing.
Amen.
Act like you're somebody.
Hey.
Act like you know who you are. Well, I got 5 cars by this. Yeah, I got the Holy Spirit, and with him, I can get all of that.
Come on.
It don't mean nothing. Right. And you can die with all that and not have squat still.
Yeah.
And And I watch people brag and brag and brag, but when you follow them home, it's very lonely. It's very empty. And you know what else I learned? When you're around people who do a lot of bragging and they see that you're not moved by it, they want what you have. Because everybody else wants it. And I had to say to somebody recently, I know you used to surround yourself with people who look up to you and think you the Mac Daddy and they just want to be you. I'm not one of them, bro. I'm not impressed with any of what you're showing me. What a testimony. You may have all of this, but you don't have the peace I have. Something goes wrong, you freak out, panic, running in circles. And I stand right there flat-footed and go, I know who my deliverer is. He brought me out before, he'll bring me out again. Every single time he brings me out, he'll bring me out today. And you can say that with a real confidence like that. People will stop and say, tell me about that. I really need that. Stop looking at them and lusting for what they have. What you have is way more valuable. Father God, we bless you today and we thank you. How many of you received something from that word?
Yes.
Spoke to you where you are right now today. Well, Father God, keep your hand up. Father God, as their hands are up, I'm releasing over them the anointing to take hold of everything they heard, to change them to the persons and that they're called to be, and the power and the dynamic that they're called to walk in. I release over each and every one of us today, right now, by your Spirit, that ability to stand steadfast in who we are and not be moved by the world around us. Father, we are strong in the Lord and the power of his might. We are not deterred. We are not dismayed. We are not moved. But we are strong and steadfast to see the end of what you've called us to. From this day forward, we prize the gifts you've given us, the oil, the gold, the talents, the gifts, the anointings, the presence. And from this day forward, we plan to see the full power of God Almighty flow in our lives. We are not intimidated, we are not moved, and we are not remorseful or fretful. We are confident in you. And we thank you in the name of our Savior Jesus. We bless you and we thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen.
And amen.